talk about elective surgeries. Obviously, we're moving in that direction.
We are encouraging states around the country to restart elective surgery wherever possible, even on a county-by-county basis. Additional funding for hospitals is here, and additional funding for testing.
Governor DeSantis and Mike Pence, vice president, talking about elective surgeries. It's been, what, about 10 days, I think, since that decision was made. And, of course, phase one began for us Monday with the, very open permission for so-called elective surgery. It's a bit of a misnomer because when you say elective, people think it's just purely optional. I mean, you know, I feel like going in. No, not today. It's elective. I mean, that's not really the right way to think about it. But still, that is something that hospitals in the state of Florida are allowed to do under the right circumstances, which we meet under those. Scott Raines, he is the the head of Baptist Hospital, and he is the executive vice president for Baptist Healthcare, and he joins us now by phone. Scott, welcome back to the program, sir.
Good morning. How are you, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm doing very well. So you guys have started back in this week with elective surgeries. From my point of view, I got to imagine that the backlog was enormous. How big of a waiting backlog do you have to handle these surgeries?
Yeah, big. We're essentially 2 months of not doing any, right? Very, very small numbers that had to meet a criteria to even be done surgically. So when you think about Baptist Hospital, Gulf Breeze Hospital, and then in my case or our case, we have Nine Mile Surgery Center, Andrews Institute, ASC, that surgery center, we have an enormous amount of pent-up demand for surgery.
I'm kind of curious, just before we get into kind of the main stuff with the main hospital, how has this affected the Andrews Institute? Because I would imagine that pretty much all of their businesses falls into that so-called elective category.
Yeah, fundamentally, it's been shut down. There have been a day a week or 2 days a week where a very limited amount of surgeries have been done there, and those surgeries, again, had to go through a particular screening criteria where delaying the surgery was going to cause extensive harm to the patient beyond throughout their life. So, a degenerative issue that surgery could correct that if you let linger on would be debilitating would be one of the criteria that had to pass. So, on a particular day out of the week, a smattering of those surgeries, I'm talking single digits per day, would be done on that particular day.
Wow. So just for people who may not be as familiar with the terminology, and they probably, as I mentioned a moment ago, they probably hear elective surgery and think it's like plastic surgery or wart removal. You know, what is real quickly, what are some of like the range of what would qualify as normally an elective surgery so people understand what those are?
Yeah. So think about, obviously a plastic surgery is an elective surgery. If I wanted to get, for example, a facelift, all right. But as is a total knee replacement. Mm. I'm a 53-year-old who's got a bad knee. Inevitably, I know that I'm going to have a knee replaced. If I were maybe 5, 6, 8 years older, I would need that knee replaced, but I could choose when that would happen. Does it have to happen this week, next week, or whatever? So anything from, an eye lift, if you will, an eyebrow lift, to a total hip or knee replacement is categorized as elective.
Basically, everything below the emergency or immediately necessary qualifies in that category. And that's what I figured. It's good to have people hear that.
Precisely.
So, what are you doing to prepare, or what are you doing now that you're conducting these elective surgeries? I know I remember one guy from the task force made a comment the other day about how the good news of sorts about personal protective equipment for elective surgeries is you don't burn through it at such a high rate the way you do taking care of the COVID patients, which is good. But what are you guys doing to make sure that you have everything you need, that you stay within the parameters, and that it's all safe?
Yeah, not a lot different than we were doing beforehand. We are working diligently to ensure the safety of our patients and our team members. And those that accompany the patient. So we've continued to limit visitors or those that can accompany patients. We are diligent about screening not only our staff every day upon entry and coming to work, but every patient and potential visitor that's with them. We are vigilant about PPE usage and masking of staff and patients that don't need the PPE. We are social distancing and creating waiting room distancing. We are moving through a cleaning and disinfectant process that has further intensified as a result of COVID, which was already incredibly intense. And then we're doing some other things via recommendation whereby you may not be able to come visit me if I have to stay overnight, Andrew, but you and I certainly could Skype or FaceTime one another. And while I don't get to see your lovely face, I can still, in person, I can still see it and hear your voice over my iPad. So, you know, we're being creative as well as being, you know, very, very rigid with regards to the cans and can'ts inside the walls of our hospitals and surgery centers.
Well, I guarantee you, Scott, you're better off on a phone call than a Skype call with me. So everything's good in that regard.
I understand. My mother said I had a face for radio, so I completely get that.
Very good. Well, Scott, it's great to have you on the show. It's great that you guys are able to do more of these surgeries now and take care of people. I mean, I know there's a massive backlog, and I mean, I know there's logistical challenges, right? I mean, if you're got you're trying to take care of a backlog and you're always trying to run at good capacity, and now you're trying to keep open extra capacity just in case there's a resurgence. I mean, you know, it's a lot of factors to control and to care for. Any last thoughts for us in terms of getting people back to work, doing extra duty in terms of weekends or anything like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, we are gradually bringing our workforce that had been labor pooled and or repurposed in other locations back into their normal jobs. Think of it as turning the hot water on and waiting for it to warm up. We've gone from a cold drip of water to a lukewarm stream, and it's heating up. We've seen that occur just from the Monday of this week forward, so gradually it's happening. We're excited about it, but we're also guarded in what we are doing, and we are now living in a world where we have COVID and non-COVID areas within our hospitals and health systems that we understand may very well be our new normal going forward, and we're prepared for that.
Very good. Scott Raines, he is the president of Baptist Hospital and the executive vice president for Baptist Healthcare. Scott, thanks for what you do. Thanks for the time this morning, and we look forward to more updates as time moves on.
Thank you, Andrew. Have a great day.